Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He is rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. The very thing you've been longing for. Or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that express his reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Greetings, my friends, and my apologies for missing a few weeks here. I had to move just after Christmas, and then I had to wait until my recording setup arrived in the mail. All of that was concluded yesterday, and so we are ready to go. That said, welcome to the Saucer Pod and Dog Poet Transmitting. Tonight we are hovering above an entirely different landscape. This morning I received a phone call telling me that the sheriff called. My first thought was, rats, are they after me already? Then I heard that some kind of criminal, possibly a murderer, was suspected of being in the neighborhood and everyone should stay indoors for a bit. Since I had no intention of going out today, that worked fine with me. Yeah. Usually, where I am is a very safe zone. And, well, on a number of levels. And I chose it for that reason. There was a drought here when I arrived, and the next day it ended. So I guess that's good news, too. Otherwise, this way station exists for another 10 weeks or so. And we shall see what develops on the way to wherever. Wherever has been a feature for some while now. I suppose we're all migrants now, as the world transforms into whatever is coming. Meaning we have not only wherever to consider, but whatever too. Along with this, there's been no sleep until dawn most nights, and that's fine, because most anything that needs to be done can be done at any time. The cause of this seems to be a heightened energy and awareness level. I'm not sure what either of them relate to. It's not been defined in any specific way. It's just there, and my read is that it has to do with something generally pervasive across the board. I'm not suggesting that it's something being felt by everyone, because it doesn't look like that, according to my observations of the world at large, but I can feel it in the streets and I can feel it behind closed doors. And I don't think we need Charlie Rich to sing about that at the moment, because for sure, well, I'm not engaged in the things that the song is about, or, well, maybe on some deeper level I am, because everything we experience of a personal manifest level here in this place also exists on some other invisible and more permanent levels on planes that vibrate and resonate well above the perceptual level of those for whom the sensory plane is, unfortunately, the totality of their existence. The archetypes are changing. They are the same archetypes that they always were, but they are dressed up now in the new fashions of the coming age, which means their appearance is going to be different, and the perception of humanity concerning them is going to be different, which means that the cultures and human interactions are all going to be different. Add to this that the level of technology is beyond anything that has been seen in this period of recorded history, well, which also means that humanity teeters on the brink of mass destruction because the money mongers, war mongers, fear mongers, weapons manufacturers, soulless corporate husks, mass murdering psychopaths, satanic tribe bankers, and merciless Zionists are all trying to take over the world or snatch as large a portion as they can get their hands on at the expense of anyone and anything that is in their way, and none of them care who suffers or who dies. And this is all for the purpose of demonstration so that they can show the world and themselves what they are and then go through the doors of perdition toward which they are inexorably bound. We're all bound somewhere, and it all has to do with what our intentions are and the directions of our heart, which determines our passions and perspectives, because it shapes and influences our values, and our values and intentions define us. They speak as if they were oracles of language about what we are. As the Master said long ago, "By their works ye shall know them." That is the litmus test for each and every one of us, and the thing that allows those who have lost their way as a member of the human race. It's all because of appearances. It is true that they deceive with appearances, and that is the focus of much of their industry. But more importantly, they themselves are deceived by appearances and are doomed accordingly. They think what they see and project is real, but it is not. And this will become more and more important to them the more and more it becomes too late for them to do anything about it. There's a lot of uproar going on right now about these migrant sexual abusers and rapists, and of course they are responsible for their actions, all of us are, but they are where they are and doing what they are because George Soros and the Rothschilds for whom he works have collectively intended for it to be just what it is. They knew in advance of all this happening that it would happen if they could shoehorn these thugs into European society. They brought them there. They funneled them there for exactly what they are doing, and the corrupt and compromised politicians in all of these affected countries are facilitating these things, working to suppress the exposure of these things and doing whatever they are told at the expense of the citizens of the countries they were elected to serve. Betrayal and treachery are at work everywhere. Let us keep in mind that the Hegelian dialectic saloon door swings both ways. Just as they confuse and control the perceptions of the public with working it from the initiatory actions and then creating a reaction and then providing a solution, this same series can impact on those who think they are working the game, and it can come right at them as they find the public coming back in outrage against the predators who are victimizing them so relentlessly. The worm can turn, and more certainly the worm will turn at some point. We look at appearances and we analyze and project what we feel is going to take place because of how things look to us, and our logic informs us that it has to go this way and it has to go that way, but no one knows which way it is going to go. The only thing we know, well, in the end, it comes down to how much you believe in what it is that is deceiving you. I feel very lucky in this regard, in that I leave all of this in the hands of the ineffable, as I also leave my destiny and fate in the hands of the ineffable. I do not understand the why of events that have happened to me, and it's not important that I do, because here on this plane we exist in the lens of a glass darkly. We only think we are seeing what we are seeing, and all of it is a projection of our minds. It is all an expression of what we have convinced ourselves is real. Remember, that where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. The time will come when the glass darkly will no longer be dark, and we will see with new eyes as a result of a renewed mind. Or we will be in darkness that surrounds and consumes us. This is all a personal choice, and the whole of it is provoked and brought about by the quality and consistency of our hearts and what our priorities are. I would like to say that I don't just think and believe these things are true. I know they are true. But I won't say that, even though I did say it. Well, let me now unsay it. It is never a good thing to be overconfident of one's own convictions when it comes into the area of transference. Within the relative silence of my own mind, I can say this, but everyone else should come to their own conclusions. That is how it is, or should be. We've said often enough that the world is a projection of the mind of the person perceiving it, and acts according to what they believe or acts contrary to it to prove whatever it is necessary in the life of the person who believes it. Our faith and belief is either confirmed or rejected by some mysterious force in order that we might come to understand the meaning of existence. In many cases, this is often not enough because people persist in insisting that it is all as they think it is. And as one thinks, so are they. We define ourselves by our values and the world we have made to underwrite them. In times of material darkness, we are often flat out wrong because we attempt to force the world to become an extension of what we desire to make real. Many terrible and tragic circumstances have come about because of this kind of blind willfulness. We live in the midst of such conditions in this very time. On the other hand, many of us have suffered greatly by allowing ourselves to be convinced that the appearances created by those who hate us are actual. It's all in the mind of the one convinced of it. Whatever it is. But as great teachers over the course of so many centuries have said, it is not what we think it is, and our unfortunate commitment to what is not real is what makes us mortal. If one understood the ancient allegories concerning how life came to be created in the first place, they could find their way back to the garden or into the original thought that generated the innocence we lost in our fall from grace. Of course, the fall from grace was inevitable, so that the tales might be demonstrated and told. All the pain and suffering of so many years, they are like all those countless falling leaves in their numbers. All of it is part and parcel of the instruction of our return, is all part and part of the accomplishment and acquisition of regenerated innocence. At least it is for those who seek it. You get that which you seek after. You arrive at that which you seek after. You become that which you seek after, and you learn the value of that effort, or the complete lack of value, or the partial value of that effort. You learn that which the mysterious force demands that you must learn the meaning of. And this is why, in the end, we are all our own judge and executioner and cannot escape the rewards and punishments of whatever it was that we gave our time and attention to. The Almighty sees through our eyes, hears through our ears, and lives in our hearts and minds according to whatever shape we have turned this mysterious force into in our consciousness. Is it good? Is it evil? We have constructed it out of our own being in terms of how we identify and serve it. Are we serving it, or are we serving ourselves? Have we made an angel or a demon out of it? A god or a devil? It's all the same force, which is simply applied to one of two possibilities of expression. If we are selfish, then we have turned it into a selfish force. If we are otherwise, then it is otherwise. Do we see it as Krishna? Then it is Krishna. Do we see it as Christ? Then it is Christ. Do we see it as Tara or Radha or Mary? Then it is Tara or Radha or Mary. Do we see it as Allah? Then it is Allah. Do we see it as Satan? Then it is Satan. How we see it is how we see ourselves. Not at first, of course. It takes some while to grow into it. And as some buds and fruits bloom and ripen early, so it is with us. Some of us long ago reached perfection, and some of us will not reach this state for a long, long time, because we did not want it as much as all of the other things we wanted in its place, because we did not realize that it was and is all of those other things in extension, and that there is no enjoyment in anything that is not enjoyed by the supreme enjoyer within us. I know there are some portion of people who think I am crazy, or that I take unnecessary risks, or some variation on the theme of madness. But no one finds the Almighty, truly, who does not go mad, and the wisdom of God is as foolishness to men and women. Some feel that I deserve everything that happened to me, and I wouldn't dispute that at all. But what is the final result of the whole movie? The movie isn't over yet. The result of the movie cannot be seen halfway through the process of demonstration. It is seen in the summation at the conclusion, unless some unspeakable, indefinable epiphany comes about at any point as an expression of the divine will. We cannot concern ourselves with the censure conferred on us by those who have never even met us. Only the opinion of the ineffable counts, and the ineffable will appear and demonstrate in the lives of every single person who seeks after the ineffable. This is a law. Faith is the substance of things unseen. Do not alter yourself to seek after the approval of the blinded world. Seek the approval of the one from whom all blessings flow. The ineffable uses all manner of beings and all to the end of all manner of results. There is no definable mean by which one can say that this is how it should be and this is how it should not be. The mind and motives of the ineffable cannot be known. My friends, it is a pleasure to visit with you again, and I hope there is not yet another cessation of our interplay some months hence when I must migrate to some other place, as yet unknown. Perhaps a more permanent landing is in the cards, or maybe it is not, but whatever it is, may God's will be done. So, we have come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you, or you will hear me, next week, if there is one. Thank you for taking the time to listen to my imperfect ramblings on the great love of my life. And know that there are no personal tragedies or sufferings that possess any meaning or impact at all when the ineffable is in residence. Seek to make the ineffable the single tenant in the building of your being. In the realized adytum that is you when you have fully become yourself and all darkness has been banished from your heart and mind. Even in desperate times, we can be resident in bliss. That said, greetings, my good friend, Lord Ganesh. Om Amitabha. Much love, Lady Nature. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Hare Krishna. La ilaha il allahu. Carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha and Aru.
He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. If you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. No one stays anonymous when they get you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing live and truth, he's bringing freedom, and a wake-up call designed for everyone. He's here, Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.